This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
Grab that cuppa and sit down for Conversations with the Mayor. Join in now as Taran speaks with our region's leaders.
Kia ora and welcome back to Conversations with the Mayor on Access Radio Taranaki. Today we have Mayor Max, and he's not in the studio with us, we're actually in his office. Thanks for having us here, Neil. Oh.
So that is a Freudian slip there, right?
That after was a bit
many,
of a Freudian.
Many years, nine years. I was going to say Neil years, but 9 years.
Yep, nine years.
I'll forgive you. Yep, it's fine.
Thank you. Thank you for having us, Max.
It's fine. I appreciate you coming, actually. And I'd just like to point out that Taryn very graciously tried to blame shift away from her to me, from me to her, but actually it was me. I was running very late today from back-to-back meetings, and I couldn't get down to the studio in time.
That's so, all right.
Thanks for coming.
Well, thank you for having me. It's nice to be in the office again. Things look a little different. The table's in a different spot.
It is, and we've got some new decorations on the wall, and the table is in a constant state of change. The problem I have is it's actually too heavy. I have to get someone to help me lift it, otherwise I have to drag it on the carpet.
You have to get some help,
actually, yeah. And there's that many spaces in here for this room to be laid out differently, right?
There is indeed.
Yeah.
There is indeed. And last time we were talking about neurodivergence and ADHD, and it's actually a known thing for people with ADHD.
Don't deny any participation.
Maybe we like a little. To shift the furniture around. We like the
little,
dopamine.
Maybe a little.
Now, we haven't spoken in a month. It was 4 weeks since we caught up last. What have you been up to?
Nothing.
Nothing? See, someone told me that you'd bought a bunch of costumes and you were dressing up and you'd been on the float.
Moment of fun, right? Like Christmas parade. How could you not?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was actually really good, actually, that... There was a little challenge laid down, really, probably.
Yeah.
What can you do? And how cool could you make Christmas with the Christmas parade coming up? What could you do to contribute to that?
Yeah.
And actually, that was a good opportunity for us to go, what can we do next year with a bit more time up our sleeve?
Ooh,
there's
exciting.
A challenge, right?
Yeah. I mean, but how do you beat Best Float?
Best Town.
Oh, I like that.
Bring it on, Stratford.
Well, you know, I have been told that the best Christmas parade in Taranaki is in Opanaki on Christmas Eve. Apparently that's the best one. So that's the benchmark.
Okay.
Yeah.
I might have to send a spy down there. Because Christmas Eve, that's during the day?
No, it's in the evening.
In the evening.
Yeah, it finishes at 8 o'clock.
That's so cool. Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah.
It is.
I'm going to take my little boy's 5 and he loves tractors and vehicles and apparently it's chock full of them, so it'll be fun.
Oh, he's a car freak.
Oh, he is. Yep, he is indeed. And I didn't know anything about cars until a couple of years ago. In fact, I didn't even drive a car until he was born. I was a scooter person.
Right.
Yeah, so I literally knew very little.
So then they
cars.
Say that children aren't smarter than their parents.
Oh, he's so much smarter than me. So much smarter than me. Bless him.
I'm a car person.
You're a car person.
Turns out. I've been known to like art on wheels.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's my little boy's called Fox, and one of his favourite things to do with his cars is to paint them and to pimp them out. So art on wheels is a very
great.
Good phrase.
He's starting off real well in life.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
He is indeed.
Yeah.
So did your grandchildren get along to see you in the Christmas
parade?
They didn't.
Parade? No, they didn't. Oh. One of them is of an age where she can be a tad hungover.
Oh.
And, yeah.
So she was a different kind of grin.
Yeah, she was feeling a bit grinchy on Christmas parade day. And my grandson doesn't live in New Plymouth at the moment, so they've moved out of town for a bit.
Well, I hope they got lots of photos.
Yeah, we've got a few stashed away. I think there was a few people took photos of the Christmas parade.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Now, it hasn't all been fun and shenanigans. You've been around the country a bit too, haven't you, in the last month?
Oh, I've been to Wellington a few times.
Yeah,
yeah. A couple of times.
Yeah, yeah, you went down for the Parihaka Day.
I did.
And the local government conference?
The Mayor School.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the Mayor School. I had to go and get a bit of training whipped into me. You know it.
And also a kōrero with NZTA.
Yeah, that was less fruitful than I'd hoped it may be, as good as I can put it.
Yeah, I hear that a lot from people who have to deal with the central government organisations.
Well, we have to establish a relationship as well.
Yeah.
And that's part of my role, is to establish a relationship and work out what the boundaries of my request may be.
And so was that, you were talking about two things, right? The closure of the highway over summer, and potentially what might happen with the Tim Tams in the future.
Oh, the Tim Tam issue. That's the Tim Tam. That's the gift that never goes away, right, at the moment.
Yep.
We just need to lock down what the appetite was from them to allow us to come to some sort of conclusion on that. And as usual, when you're dealing with NZTA, it's probably a bit like dealing with people, individuals, when they feel like they're dealing with council. The argument is fluid and the outcome is obscure.
Mm-mm.
So that was a lesson for me in going down to verbally joust with our NZTA rep.
Basically, from what I understand, the road closure, there's no better time for it to happen, even though it's inconvenient.
Well, it depends whose point of view you're considering that from, right? Because that's right when we've got the Festival of Lights coming to an end. And for me, that's our big summer event.
It is.
And that in Americana too now. So, no, I wouldn't say there's no better time. Mm-hmm. There's no better time that suits NZTA.
Yeah.
And if I look at how they've gone about it, we felt a little bit left out as a road controlling authority in this area.
And I think that's what I hear a lot, is that central government often makes decisions and imposes them on local government.
That's their job, right?
Yeah, apparently.
And we'll have varying degrees of agreement or disagreement depending on the topic and the degree to what they're imposing.
And I guess, as you say, that's why the relationship is important, because eventually, you know, you want to be able to negotiate and have them listen, potentially.
Or have them not just listen, but take on board some of the points that are relevant from our perspective.
Mm.
That's any relationship, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what my wife keeps telling me.
And so, Tim Tams, what's the haps?
So we have a meeting on the 18th, and there's four sets of options being put in front of us, as I believe it at this stage. One from one end of the scale is the do nothing to the total, what's that song? Total annihilation of the heart. Total
eclipse of the heart. Bonnie
total
Tyler.
Eclipse. I knew it was annihilation. I must have been thinking of Tim Tams. To go back to a full restoration of the way it was before they started. So somewhere in the middle or either end. Yeah.
And I see you've had some deputations from the community on that already.
We have,
So I...
That was around the safety audit.
Yes, that's right.
Which pitched into the whole theory again.
Yes.
You know. And that's fine. Everybody's,
Everyone's got an opinion, and it's nice that it can be heard.
Yep.
Yeah. So I look forward to the outcome on the 18th.
There's quite a few people look forward to the outcome on the 18th.
I bet there is.
Yeah. It's at the end of the day, it'll be a full council decision.
Yeah.
And then we submit that to NZTA as the overall roading authority.
Yeah.
It's their state highway, and they will make a final decision. But the indications are that they're willing to listen to what comes forward.
Okay, that's good.
You're getting some scoops here today.
I do like scoops. If the council decides, they could be coming out.
Absolutely, it does.
Cool. Interesting.
Cool. Well, that's not how some people see it.
Oh, I mean, cool that people are willing to listen.
Yeah. It's how we have to start, right, and have to work together. Mm. So, you know, they might say, hey, we take on board what you're saying, but hey, what about this or this is part of it? So there'll be a bit of, I guess, not tit for tat, but if we come up with a reasonable, sensible plan, I'm hoping that they'll take it on board and go, that's fine, that's what you've chosen, we'll roll with it.
So, Max, there's been a bit of talk in the media recently about local government in general and regional government. I want to talk about the reforms to regional government and what that might mean.
Do you know something about it? Do you have some details?
I don't think anyone got any details.
Well, you know, really? there's a broad outline of a concept, right?
Yeah.
And up until the time that we get through that, it's all just up in the air, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
it like, is. I mean, they're signalling, from what I understand, they're signalling that regional government, regional councils will go. And
well, that doesn't mean to say the functions will go, right?
No,
they'll just be rehomed.
No. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So the councillors will not exist anymore, from what I understand.
That's one of the models, eh?
Yeah, the preferred model, yeah, I think. Hey? Model, and yeah. So there's potential that you and Neil Volsky and Phil Nixon will work together to spearhead.
Just imagine.
I know.
I mean, just imagine if we all had, if Neil, Phil and myself all had three concurrent deputies.
We could
have effectively, we'd have that councillor pool.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, really interesting.
Yeah.
So what do you think about the potential of that happening, of adding that to the portfolio of mahi you already do?
Look, I'm up for anything, really. Like, there's been a whole lot of talk for a long time that the whole model's not fit for purpose.
Yes.
And if you keep just tinkering around the edge, actually, I think you just add to the problem.
Mm.
So if you got the baby in the bath and the bathwater, and you've got problems, the baby's going under the bathwater.
Yeah.
That's a bad analogy, right? But actually, the thing needs remodelling.
It does.
And that tends to be my style, is actually, let's just get everything and let's just put it behind us and let's just build something new. I'd suggest that we should embrace it as an opportunity to make sure we're in a really good space.
And that's the sort of conclusion that I've come to over the last week, because to begin with, part of me was like, yes, reform, that's great. And then my next step was, hold on, is the central government telling us what to do?
It's their job.
No, I don't like it, though.
Oh, and then, you see, so you're a libertarian.
Oh, I like to think that, I don't know, it goes back to that conversation we were having, Mother, should I trust the government?
Oh, well, there's always that, right? Yeah, that's at the heart of the life, isn't it?
There is. Yeah. But the, I guess the cynic in me sees this reform as a little bit of a way to disenfranchise some voices, because we see around regional council tables, not talking so much about the mahi that the actual council does, but around the tables, some of those places are for tangata whenua. Those voices, they exist on committees, and regional councils tend to have quite strong.
But I don't think that's going to go away.
That's what I'm hoping.
I don't think it will, because I haven't heard that.
Yeah, and that's what, like, so my gut reaction was, this is not okay, because it's another way to silence tangata whenua. But then if you reframe it and look at it as a, potentially this is an opportunity to put something better in place that includes everyone's voices,
Then
it's not so scary to me.
Yeah, and that's the whole concept, isn't it? I mean, we've just had a session around the Age and Accessibility Working Party, not to take the topic away, but my expectation is if we don't have a working party or a committee, it's because the organisation already knows what it needs to do, and just do it at an organisational level, just make sure you get on with doing the job.
Yeah, right.
That's what we're here for. So if you expand that thinking out and you go, actually, there's a whole lot of people that work at regional council that have got a governance oversight model. I don't really think it matters too much what the oversight model is. Model, I shouldn't say model, should I? What the model is, as long as we've got a process that works really well for everybody.
Yeah.
That's the key here, right?
That's the thing for everybody, eh?
Yeah. Yeah. So that would be, we've got an opportunity to make that look really good.
We do. And I think that was a good reframe for me personally, is moving from the fear of it, even though I know it needs a reform, to looking at it as potentially this is a good opportunity.
Yeah.
This is a good opportunity.
Everything's a good opportunity.
Isn't it? Interesting. And so the other thing I wanted to talk to you about that's been in the media a lot recently with local government is rates capping.
Oh, I love that. Oh, yeah, baby.
Your favourite topic.
how cool is it?
Well, and I see in the last 24 hours, the numbers have come out.
It's a curb.
Yeah.
I thought that was mentioned during the election. So
rates curb.
Curbing.
Yes,
no, I don't
know. They're now suggesting between 2% and 4%.
Oh, yeah. And we're not waiting.
You're not waiting?
No, we're not waiting anyway. For them. Yeah. Like, no, we're not waiting. Yeah, we're already. That was part of my campaign, right?
It was part of my campaign.
And if that's going to be the future, we need to get in front of it and say, right, what are the things that we really need to do? What are the things that we're doing now? What are the things that we do well? What are the things that we need to do better at? And how do we make that fit?
Do you reckon you could get it between 2 and 4%?
Absolutely.
You do?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I'm interested because I know that, like, I'm not talking about inflation or consumer price index, but there's something separate that councils have and that measures the increase in what it costs.
Oh, it's the local government cost index.
Yeah.
But that's lower than inflation.
I thought it was 20%.
No. That's 2 point. I think the last number I got given was 2.2%.
Really? I thought it was about 20.
No.
Okay.
No, there was a period. It spiked up. It spiked up to close to 10 for a while, or just over. Post COVID, with all of that, period. So then there's tradable and non-tradable. There's all sorts. Every economist comes up with some sort of measure. And if you look at the track record of economists, basically if they keep saying the same thing long enough through the cycles, at some point it'll come true.
Yes. And so you reckon that...
Where did this conversation start?
We were talking...
rates caps.
Classic neurodivergence. We were talking rates caps.
No, whether you don't get, you try yes, and pull that out of the hat.
Whether we can get... whether between 2 and 4% is realistic.
Yeah, we can, because if you look at... They've put some exclusions on some things, right? And they're basically...
Yes, not water.
Yeah, so stuff... Yeah. That actually, the real core stuff. What they're saying is you need to get your overhead factor in the right space.
Right. Okay.
So if you look at it, we don't talk about overhead. There's never any conversations at any of this stuff during the election campaign or during our debates. There's never any conversations about can we reduce an overhead. It's always about can we. And I'm an overhead.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's never any of those comments. It's always about we'll reduce services.
Yes.
We'll reduce spending on infrastructure.
Yeah.
But we never have a conversation about actually overheads are. How many reams of paper we buy, how many coffees that I buy in my little coffee corner there. I buy my own, actually. But we never have those conversations. So what I'm suggesting is maybe it's time we started looking at the whole organisation and saying, actually, what are the overheads? And but we don't put them up in a transparent way either for people to look at that.
It's
spread across the different departments. So it looks like Len Lysen has got this huge running cost every week.
Yep.
But it's not necessarily all Len Lysen. It's what they call the shared service component.
Yeah.
So I'm not advocating that we're going to slash all the overheads. What I'm saying is we need to look at them and start measuring them so that we can then say, this year, does that overhead need to be the same as it was last year, or can we look at trimming some out? And
Does staffing fall into overhead?
Depends what their job roles are. Some do and some don't. But naturally, as the organisation becomes better at doing what it does, do you need if
more
you're
efficient?
Is that back to that? It's like the snake consuming its tail, right? A little bit.
Ragnarok.
That's the neurodivergent coming out of you there.
Yes.
If just think about this: if everyone had some time freed up in their day.
Yeah.
To do their job better, and part of their council meeting structure is around that. Like we had this big long meeting cycle that was, I've been told, nearly 60 days to go from where to go through the cycle. And what I'm told now is with the new one, we're down to under 30.
Wow.
Right?
Okay.
And also with less meetings and talk fests, we've got people that are able to get on with doing the job of delivering stuff.
Less hooey, more doing.
They're all little things, right? But they have a cumulative effect. And at the end of it, hopefully we'll start cranking the dial a bit harder.
I'm very keen to see how that plays out.
Yeah, well, it might crash and burn. But
At least you figured it out,
I don't think it will. My gut instinct is we'll actually get stuff happening. I mean, I've had organisation groups through here saying, actually, we don't need to come and talk to committees. We just need to know that we've got the right connection at council. That's not hard to figure out, right?
No, it's not.
And quite often, if you can come in to talk to a committee and it's an organisation that we normally do some stuff to help them or in some way, shape or form, why do they need to come and talk to councillors? If we've already said to the staff, your job is to go and help these groups.
Yeah, help these groups.
Just get on with it.
Just get on with it and do it.
Cameron having committee talks.
Yeah, remove the bureaucracy and just do the mahi. Yeah, interesting. So you do think between 2% and 4% is achievable? Wow.
Yeah, it is. Like, there's going to be spikes. Like, there's going to be spikes.
Yeah, well,
like, there's, like, we've just been through that unnatural life cycle of the COVID period.
Yeah.
That's an aberration, right?
Yep.
But for normal, everyday stuff that you do every day, like going out there and looking after the city, we do the same thing every day. So what the other thing that we don't consider when we go through this planning process is we don't take into account, because we can't, is benefits of increasing use of technology.
Yes.
Right? Technological advances.
Yep.
Like who would have thought a few years ago that you could get to do all your day-to-day gardening and pruning stuff, you could get a battery shear,
yes.
you know, or a battery chainsaw. It doesn't need petrol. It doesn't need as much service. You know, there's all those little things. And I know that firsthand because I just bought my wife some battery shears for her birthday.
Did you? She's like, you're a good husband.
Well, it just saves me from doing it.
Yeah.
You know, so
and also, like, I asked for a battery leaf blower.
A leaf blower. You're one of those people. Get out on a Sunday morning and wake up the neighbourhood. But if you've got a battery one.
But I don't care about the leaves. Like, I want to keep the leaves in my garden for mulch. So that's what I want to
You've
got to
have the right leaves, though, because we've got pockers and they don't
decompose. Yeah, no, they don't.
Yeah, so we have to have a sack and I have to go out and pick these damn pucker leaves up.
Yes, you would.
Usually so often.
Yeah, we've got a few nekals at our place and they don't go in the mulch. I've got a mulcher as well.
Have you?
Yeah.
Why does that not surprise me?
I love bringing things up in the mulches.
Green thumbs?
I do, yeah. I've got a really big garden, like 36 fruit trees and a food
you're gonna
forest.
You're going to pay a lot of money for water.
Yes, yeah. Well, the next thing we want to do is collect our own water.
Harvesting,
on site. Yeah. Well, we live in Okato, so, you know, we have quite a few. You're not allowed to use your water. Water restrictions.
I'm not going to say that.
Water restrictions.
So what I'd like to tell you is that there is going to be a ratepayer assistance scheme for water harvesting come back.
Is there?
Yeah.
I am delighted to hear
able
that.
You'll be able to go through the process. There's a limit on the funding per, you know, I don't know what that is yet, but you've got to get the council, come to council, get a loan. You can also get a green loan from some of the banks for that. Did you know that?
Yeah.
At a very low interest rate.
And you get, for solar and for harvesting your own water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so I hate to say it, we're going to go into competition with that. And I'm not sure that that's actually the best model. If banks are doing it really efficiently, should we? But it's another avenue for people. If you and we've put one in at our place, but only because I hate the taste of city water.
Yeah, that's one good thing about being in Okato is we don't have city water.
Yeah.
But the other thing, you can get really good water from Pose, from the mineral pools.
Yeah. You have to pay for it.
Yeah, but it's only like $1 a litre, I think.
Yeah.
But if you get like 20 litres, it's like $15.
Yeah, stuff I get off my roof's free.
Yeah.
Well, you know, until you have to replace the charcoal filters and the UV lamp. And,
yeah.
But yeah, it's actually a worthwhile exercise. I actually did it in the last term as an exercise to see what it would cost, and I wanted to do it anyway, what it would cost to set up a fairly simple unit. We've got a 1,000-litre tank, a fence tank, so it just sits up against the fence, and it's not a big round tank that you've got in the middle of your yard. The slimline tank can fit under your soffit or somewhere close.
Yep.
Then we ran it straight through and we plumbed it into the kitchen tap.
Did you? Well done.
So instead of having a separate tap, because that annoys me, having that extra tap on your bench, we made it so we've got a valve under the sink that we can have it either on city water if the tank runs out, or we just turn that valve around and have it on the tank water, and then we just run the cold out. Because you don't actually use a lot of water at your tap, at your kitchen tap, for just drinking. And we haven't, I've had that for 2 summers now, we haven't run out of water. And that just for drinking in our kitchen tap.
That's amazing. Yeah. And how much did it cost to set the system up?
Not telling.
Come on, we're on a financial advice mission.
Yeah, it was about $1,000 for the plumber to come and hook it up. We bought an expensive tank that was a fence tank. That was about $1,800 from memory. Yeah.
Cool.
And then we put quite a good UV five stage carbon, which is about $700.
So, nice. Not too bad.
Yeah, not too bad.
It'll pay for itself over time.
Well, if you are Yeah, but that would qualify for ratepayer-assisted funding, but then you have to pay it back to the council with your rates bill for...
Because council used to do that for heat pumps.
Yeah, and it's coming back again.
Is that coming back?
Yeah, that's all coming back again under what they call the ratepayer assistance scheme.
Cool.
So you'll...
Because I think that was stopped because... Yeah, some lending government, laws. That's right.
We won't talk about which government that was.
I can't even remember.
Well, I can, but I won't mention any particular Labor government. But it was an unintended consequence of trying
of
to stop.
The lending, yeah.
Well, it was about trying to stop those mobile traders that went around and preyed on low socioeconomic areas with high dollar value goods, but gave them that payday lending style.
Yes, the ones
stuff.
With the red trucks.
And we got, councils got swept up by a poorly drafted law. And then once it's law, it's really hard to go back and tweak it. But to their credit, they recognised that and they started the process and it just got finished off.
Gosh, that's been a long process.
Yeah, well, it's what this government, right? Whereas if it was me running that government, it would have happened tomorrow.
It would happen yesterday.
Yesterday, sorry.
In our first home, when we lived in town, we did that for our heat pump.
Yeah.
Paid it off on our rates.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
It's almost superfluous now that banks offer green loans, I feel.
Yeah, that's
but
a really
not
good
all
point.
Banks are offering the green loans.
The fact that councils are able to do that again is a good thing for the community.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk to you as well. We've got a few minutes left. Since the last time we spoke, you've announced your committee structures.
Yes.
I looked over them. And I looked at who was on each committee and who was not on any committees. And I don't know if it was a typo or if something's happened, but Sam seemed to be missing from any committee. Can I ask why?
You need to take that up with Sam. Yeah.
Okay.
He's made his thoughts clear to me, but it's not my privilege to say that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so... it wasn't a deliberate decision on your part.
No, it wasn't a deliberate decision on my part. Okay. And really, in fairness to Sam, he needs to make comment about it. But he has actually come on to Tiki Winga.
Oh, cool.
So the last minute change there, Denny and Sam have swapped Sam out for Denny, and Denny's going to be focusing on probably some TRC policy and planning stuff.
Oh.
Which he asked
okay.
to sit in that space.
I didn't catch that change.
No, well, it's very last minute.
Awesome. And maybe we can, we'll fit one more in. One more question for you
I
today.
I should have taken longer to answer that last question.
You should have. You would have been off the hook.
I need to learn, on this film.
But this is a nice question.
Good.
This is the last time we speak to you before Christmas. So what is on your Christmas wish list this Christmas? And what is on your Christmas wish list for the New Plymouth District?
My Christmas wish list is that we don't have any unforeseen events occur over the holidays that we all have to worry about. That'd be great if we could all go out and enjoy Christmas. As to the personal level of that, I'm over Christmas a long time ago. I think I told you earlier.
You're being a bit grinchy there.
Well, no, like this year we were talking about just sneaking away to New York and having a white Christmas, my wife and I, without telling anyone.
Fairy tale.
Some silly idiot put his name down for a job, but
I bet you're in the dog box with your wife about that. Her Christmas in New York.
No, because I bought her I've got her an early Christmas present this year. I bought her a robotic pool cleaner.
Oh, whoa, cool.
Yeah, that was after she did such a nice job of sanding the pool back and painting it.
Oh, wow.
I know. She's a model wife.
Yeah, isn't she? Where can I get one?
No, I think you don't qualify.
So you bought her a pool boy for Christmas?
A pool boy, yeah, a robotic one. Yeah. Was a save our marriage moment. And for council, what I'd like to deliver is some good news for where we're looking at for the rates next year. We're working through that at the moment, and hopefully there'll be an announcement before Christmas that gives some good news to the rate-paying community of New Plymouth. I don't know what that is yet, but I'm looking to... It comes back to my rates gap thing, right?
I shall hold out for that.
You know, you need to hold out for that because it hasn't landed yet, right? But we're working on it. And hopefully there's going to be some Christmas cheer.
Very un-Grinchy of you.
I know. But don't tell anyone, eh? Couple of inside scoops today.
I have, Miss
Tip Top.
Well, it was lovely to talk to you, Max. I hope you have a beautiful Christmas. Thank you for having me in your office. I look forward to the table being in a different place next time I'm here. And I hope you have a beautiful Christmas with your whānau.
Thank you, likewise.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.